Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. Tyler Greenewalt joins us, Yahoo Sports Jets, on the preview clock as we continue this week in the AFC East. Four-win team last year, second year with Zach Wilson. How are you, Tyler? Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Hey, Tony. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right, so we, like a lot of morning shows around the country, have had a lot of fun with Zach Wilson and these off-the-field exploits and talking about that. But on a serious note, is it frustrating for the organization that, again, this is their guy and this is what the tabloid media wants to tap into? Is that a New York thing, or is it because this is the best thing to write about this kid right now?
I mean, number one, it's July. There's not a lot going on. Training camp is about to start. So, I mean, it's definitely a product of the time in the sports calendar. I also just think it's New York. It's saucy news. And Wilson isn't that great of a quarterback yet. So there's not much to talk about him. If he was this Aaron Rodgers type, this Pat Mahomes type quarterback, I think this would be mentioned, but I don't know if this would garner as much attention. But we'll have to wait and see. If he continues to be play as well or not as well as he has in the past, then this might be the only thing we end up talking about him for a while.
Were there things in his rookie year that did stand out that made people feel like, oh, maybe this is a little different? Sam Darnold had good things in his rookie season, so it doesn't always lead to success. But were there things that made you go, all right, Zach Wilson's got some tools that need to be refined, but at least some of the base is there?
Yeah, I think like his arm strength was touted during the whole draft process, and I think he showed that off a lot last season at times. I think his sort of escapability and ability to extend plays with his legs and make those amazing throws were great. The issue with him is just stringing together very good games or very good plays and keeping those turnovers down and just not getting rid of the ball quickly. So flashes are great, but unless you're able to do that on a consistent basis, we're going to be talking about it, like you said, like Sam Darnold having flashes.
What weapons does he have around him this year? The Jets went out and got some draft picks, but they also went out in free agency. So does he have a better offensive line in front of him?
Oh, no question. I think one of the biggest benefits of Zach Wilson this year will be a better offensive line. Like, and I'm not even including Mekhi Becton yet, just because we don't know what his status is going to be. But getting Laken Tomlinson to kind of lock down that guard position with Elijah Vera Tucker on the other side, you already have George Fant. Connor McGovern proved to get better as the season progressed. And then if you throw Becton, even if he's not rookie Becton, if he's just starting to get back into that groove, like that's a pretty solid offensive line. And you already see it in the Pro Football Focus preseason offensive line rankings, the Jets have gotten better every single year. Granted, it's not a vast improvement yet, but we'll see. His offensive line is certainly a lot better. But I think the biggest thing is the playmakers around him. Like all of his number one targets are back with Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, Braxton Berrios. Then they go out and add Garrett Wilson. They add two tight ends in Uzoma and Conklin. So I think his supporting cast, is significantly better than it was last year. And that's what you need to improve. That's what the Bills did with Josh Allen a couple of years ago, and that's what the Jets hope they're doing with Wilson this year.
I want to ask about Robert Saleh. When he emerged on the scene, it was like we saw him in San Francisco, and he had all this energy and exuberance, and he sort of burst onto the national spotlight. Then he gets a head coach of the Jets. What has he been like to cover, to watch? How much of that energy that kind of caught the nation, how much of that is prevalent in the way he runs his team?
I think it's certainly getting there. I know a lot of the reasons why the Jets got free agent signings the past 2 years were because players wanted to play under Robert Saleh and in that locker room with that type of culture. So that definitely exists. I think sort of the passion and the exuberance isn't nearly as forward as it was in the past, just because the Jets haven't been very good. So there's not been too much to be happy about. But I think Robert Saleh is the ultimate optimist. He says it in almost all of his press conferences, where he truly believes that the Jets are going to get it right. It's going to take time, but the process will work. And he always believes in the team, even if it doesn't always have the outcome that he wants. So the optimism is always there. The enthusiasm is always there, even if it doesn't look like it at times because the Jets aren't winning games. Maybe that'll change this year.
He's just going into his second year, but he is a defensive guy. How is he building this defense? I know that also takes time. Got some good draft picks, obviously Sauce Gardner, but how is he building this defense?
I think one of the things that Robert Saleh and GM Joe Douglas sort of related to the most is their belief in building a team through the trenches. Obviously, Joe Douglas, big offensive lineman guy. Robert Saleh, big defensive line pass rush guy. I think last year the issues with the Jets were that they didn't really have that formidable front seven that they were looking for, whether it was because of injuries or youth at the front. Obviously, they lost Carl Lawson and Vinnie Curry to season-long injuries. The linebacker position outside of C.J. Mosley was incredibly young. Outside of him, it was mostly rookies or young players. So I think the difference between this year and last year is going to be that pass rush. The linebacker situation is still a little bit uncertain, but the Jets get Lawson back. They get Curry back. They obviously kept Quinnen Williams, John Franklin Myers. And then you add the rookies. You add Jermaine Johnson. You add Michael Clemens to that pass rush. And that is going to be the key to this defense. Robert Saleh has said it in the past, and it'll remain to be true. The secondary is obviously vast improved as well with Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. But I think it all starts up front, and it starts with the Jets' ability to get to the quarterback and sort of cause that disruption at the front.
What is a successful season? We've been talking about this with every single team, and obviously it's different. But we were talking about the Patriots yesterday, and we were saying, look, I mean, if you were to take any other team outside of New England and give them a rookie quarterback and they get to the playoffs, that organization should be ecstatic. In the Patriots, it's probably like, well, we didn't win the Super Bowl, so it was a failure. But with the Jets, four wins with a rookie quarterback and a new head coach, it's not a lot of wins. Maybe there should have been more. But in year two, what's a good gauge to make you feel like this is working and it's starting to come together?
I mean, number one is, this goes for, I would imagine, most teams, is winning more games than you did the year before.
Sure.
But I don't think five wins is going to get it done for the Jets this year. They got a second-year quarterback, second-year coach. They made all these improvements, spent all this money. I think the Jets are going to have to win between 6 to 7 games for them to actually see some sort of improvement on the year. I don't think this is a playoff mandate team. They're not there yet. They're far too young. They're far too early in the rebuild. So if they can get to that 6-win threshold, which I think, like, if you look at their schedule, is certainly attainable. 6 wins, I would say, is the mark they need to hit. Anything less than that wouldn't necessarily be a failure, but it would certainly be a disappointment. So I would look at 6 wins, and then for a ceiling, I'd probably say 8 to 9 wins if they sneak in some of those games that maybe they shouldn't win, but they pulled off like last year when they beat the Bengals. So that's the way I would look at the season from sort of a record standpoint. But obviously the number one thing is just seeing improvements from Zach Wilson. If he looks like a quarterback on the rise heading into his third year, then even if the Jets only win 6 games, I would consider that a successful season for them.
Because we talk about the NFL. We said, look, man, there's a really thin line between the bad teams and the good teams. And that's why we see bad teams beat good teams. You don't necessarily have to get into specifics, but did you feel a couple of times this year, did the Jets leave any wins on the table? Were there losses that they went, you know what, they could have won this game. They made a few mistakes, but that game was very winnable.
I mean, unfortunately for the Jets last year, there were a lot of blowouts. I mean, there were a couple of games that they certainly left on the table. Week one against the Panthers was probably the big one. As well as the Tampa game at the end of the season where they had Brady on the ropes before a failed, I think that it was like a failed fourth down call in the red zone that kind of cost them the game. Those are the two big ones, I think, for me that people will look back on and be like, why couldn't they win those games? And I think those were the games where you came out of them unhappy that the Jets lost if you're a fan of the Jets, but you also have to think, well, they played very well and they were right in it the whole time. So I think for the Jets, it's getting past that hump and winning those games that are only one-score games. The blowouts, you need to get rid of those. Like, if the Jets went 4-12 last year, 4-13, because there's an extra game. If the Jets went 4-13 last year, but all of their losses were by 7 points or less, then you would be ecstatic as a Jets fan. But considering the fact that most of their losses were double-digit losses, that's just a bad season for them.
I do have to ask you, is Mike White still kicking around? Is he still one of the backups? Is he third string?
Yeah, so the Jets brought back their entire quarterback room. So Flacco's still there, and Mike White is still there. The way I kind of look at that quarterback room is that Joe Flacco is sort of that continuity glue guy. So, like, if the Jets are going against, this is what happened last year, the Jets are going against a team with a formidable defense, something that will rattle the quarterback, and Wilson is for some reason out of the picture, then Flacco is the guy because he is calm in the pocket. He understands how to play the game. Whereas Mike White is kind of that electric, unknown player. That's why he was able to beat the Bengals that year, and that he looked great against the Colts before his injury, and he looked okay against the Patriots when he came in for Wilson. So Mike White's still around. I don't imagine if he gets any reps, then something's gone terribly wrong for the Jets this year, but he's definitely still there, and he can definitely probably still make some plays.
I asked because there was like this period of time where Mike White kind of owned the news cycle a bit. I'm not a betting guy, but even I threw a little money on the Jets against the Colts because of Mike White. I got sucked up into it, and then he disappeared. And then I was like, oh, that's it. That's it for the Mike White fun. I guess we're done with him. I don't know where he's going to go now. But yeah, that's the reason I asked, because there was a moment where I'm thinking, there's more buzz for him than I've seen Zach Wilson at any point in this season. Everyone wanted to talk about Mike White.
Yeah, Mike White's a fun guy. He had that sort of unbridled confidence in himself. He had that swagger that fans in New York love to see. He beat the Bengals, who were an up-and-coming team, and then made the Super Bowl. So I think he had sort of that fire that Zach Wilson really hasn't been able to garner yet this year, and that's probably why Mike White was kind of the man's dog for a while. And then, I mean, if you're Robert Saleh, you love to see that, but you also want that for Zach Wilson. You want that for your franchise quarterback, your second overall pick a year ago. So Mike White's still there. He's still kicking. He's still a locker room favorite among the team, and we'll see if the Jets need him or if he finds a team somewhere else in the next couple of years.
All right, one more question. Tyler Greenwald, again, Yahoo Sports, covering the Jets. It's on Zach Wilson. Look, he's a good-looking kid, baby-faced, right? Looks like a high school senior, but yet he is a starter in the National Football League. In year two, in just the short amount of time that he's done some things with this team, we haven't gotten to full training camp yet, but is he showing an elevated leadership quality? Is he showing that sort of that thing you want in a starting quarterback, that confidence, that ability to lead other players?
I think we'll find that out more as the offseason and training camp and the regular season continue. I think he showed touches of that earlier. He's had like training camps with players. He was in Idaho or Utah during the whole social media scandal that broke out last week. So he's talking the talk. Players seem to enjoy playing with him. And in terms of like mini camps, he's had flashes, as we said before, flashes of taking the next step. I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's blowing anyone out of the water yet. It'll take a little bit more time. But I think by the end of training camp and preseason, we'll have a better understanding of what Zach Wilson is probably going to look like going into the year. And maybe that's the same as it was last year. Hopefully for the Jets, it's not.
Tyler, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. And really, really do appreciate it. Hope to catch you down the ride.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure.
You got it. That's a preview of the Jets as we continue previews this week. Tomorrow, again, we'll go over all of the teams in the AFC East and talk about what we've learned over the 4 days of these previews. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for 4 lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Our best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required. Unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. We'll come back, wrap up the hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.